This show is called Protest Contests.
You are listening to Carousel Radio.
Carousel Radio.
You're listening to Carousel Radio.
Broadcasting a creative voice of people with a learning disability.
Carousel Radio.
Carousel Radio!
Hello, sea folk, and welcome back to this episode of Carousel Radio. My name's Jason, and joining me today is my right-hand merman,
Joel Cooper,
and the guardian of the ocean,
Peggy Gachewa.
We've got music from Daniel Wakeford.
Johnny Schachter returns with the final part of his alternate history of the 20th century.
We've got a poem by Electric Mutant X.
And we'll begin by heading down to the beach for Ye, Me, and the Sea with students from the Downsview Life Skills College.
Carousel Radio.
You are listening to Carousel Radio.
Carousel Radio.
Radio. Radio.
The sea, the beach and coastline hold a special place in the human imagination. It is where we go for adventure, to sail away. Chill out, to explore, to play, to catch fish, to eat, to drink, for stone skimming, to think, to daydream. We wandered down to Brighton seafront to hear what was going on.
Over the waves, corals move under the sea, especially when they're big. Animals like fish hiding near the reefs.
When I went to the beach, I heard
wind.
When I went to the beach, I saw
waves.
When I went to the beach, I felt
stones.
When I went to the beach, I tasted
fish and chips.
When I went to the beach, I smelt
sea salt.
When we went to the beach, it was
fun.
We will return to the sea in the next episode.
Thanks to everybody at the Downsview Life Skills College for taking part.
Sea facts!
So, Joe, if you remember a couple of episodes ago, you bested me by guessing the creature before I revealed it.
Yes, of course, the creature that had 9 brains, 3 hearts.
So what I've got is creature which has recently been discovered, and I figured, see if you can guess this one. This creature is a genus of the deep sea swimming sea cucumber.
Interesting.
It has wing-like fins. It has a webbed veil. They are often found on the ocean bottom in areas with silty sand.
Okay, so my brain is going to either some kind of lantern thing or even like a butterfly fish.
They are either pink or reddish brown in colour.
Clownfish?
Nope. they feed on something called marine snow, which is basically organic material that falls from the upper layer of the water columns.
It's not going to be this, but it reminds me of those almost bacteria creatures, which are like extremophiles that can survive everywhere, even in space.
They're tardigrades, aren't they?
Thank you. Yeah, not those guys, but that's who I was thinking of.
They are bioluminescent.
I don't know the name, but I do know this creature.
They are mainly found in the deepest zones of the ocean. This species was recently discovered in October of 2018. So, Joel, would you like to guess what this creature's called?
What it's called? Okay, the rock lobster.
No.
Can you give us a clue about what the name might sound like?
Its name resembles something you'd find at a roast dinner.
Ooh.
I'm going to say, is it like the carrot fish?
No. This creature is called, and I kid you not, the headless chicken monster.
Then, is there an expression swimming around like a headless chicken?
Yeah, now yeah. It looks like a rotisserie chicken that's just swimming in the ocean.
Wow.
it's just a pink rotisserie chicken.
A raw rotisserie chicken. Gross. I love it.
And that's you. First discussion I want to talk to you guys about. Let's say you've got some treasure that is so valuable you don't want anyone to have. Where would you hide it so no one will find it?
Nuclear power station.
Explain.
Would you go near a nuclear power station?
I will hide it in one of those fake books where it's actually a box. The title of the book needs to be intriguing enough that people will be curious, but not intriguing enough that they're going to open the book.
What you want to do instead is have a book next to it that's just filled with wine. So it's like, so you've got an entire shelf of fake books.
You know those 3D puzzles, like a globe puzzle?
Oh, yes.
So yeah. I'm going to hide it inside the puzzle because it's so delicate nobody wants to even go near it.
Ooh, I like that. I like that a lot.
So my one is space.
Ooh.
Now, floating around space is a junk field, and there's more pieces of junk in space than there are cars in the UK.
Yep.
So what I would do is I'd hide it in a derelict satellite pod that's constantly in motion around the planet, so no one can find it because no one will know where it is.
One of the reasons why I think Paggy's is best is that if it's your treasure and you want to hide it, that means you plan to get it back.
Yeah, there is a downside to this in that if you don't put in some sort of locator beacon, which you can activate via remote, you're never going to find it again. So it's a double-edged sword.
Jason, what if you hide it in an actual double-edged sword?
It must be a really thin treasure.
Oh, yeah. What if the treasure itself is a double-edged sword?
In terms of the general location, it needs to not be an island, because Treasure Island, etc. So it needs to be on a piece of land that's not an island.
Technically speaking, all pieces of land are islands.
Which leads me nicely to my next point, that you need to hide it underwater. And when I say underwater, it means that it needs to be a waterproof treasure.
Or what you can do is make your treasure a turtle. Because then it's constantly going to be swimming around, so it's never going to be in the same place.
It's like a message in a bottle, but it's a treasure in a turtle.
You are listening to Carousel Radio.
And now we have the Daniel Wakefield experience with the song DVDs Are Not Very Full Yet at Home.
When my DVDs are left here on shelf storage, and now I'm telling you something, when Hoover DVDs are sequels, DVD movies, prequels, DVD movies, remakes, DVD movies, series, DVDs. DVDs are not very full yet at home. DVDs are not very full yet at home.
That was DVDs Are Not Very Full Yet at Home by the Daniel Wakefield Experience from the LP, the Rock Pop Album. The album is available on vinyl and CD from danielwakeford.com or danielwakeford.bandcamp.com, where it is also available as a digital download. Daniel's incredible albums are all available on streaming services.
If you'd like to see Daniel again, and I sure hope you do, you can see him in one of the future episodes of Carousel TV, which will be released this year. So I interviewed Daniel at the Brighton Dome about his passion for Eurovision. We went backstage and spoke about all things Eurovision. Why did we go to the Brighton Dome, I hear you say? Well, that's where ABBA won Eurovision in May 1974. You can watch that episode on the Carousel RTK official YouTube channel. Go on YouTube and type in Carousel Out UK. Carousel Out UK.
Electric Mutant X is a writer, poet, digital music producer, and spoken word artist also known as Yassine Zelestine, aka DJ Cat Claws. This is a poem from Electric Mutant X called Suburbia.
Suburbia. Hot in dense particulars of metropolis. Neonic blur resin. Blus kissed into blus plush.
Perfumed nocturnal boom.
We emerge dishevelled, level, bar fly, alcohol spirits, trippy club,
elasto shapeshift,
mature mutant, city in our genetic shared experiences, night shift, night breed, new cells repeat,
accelerated quantum,
time burst,
chem oasis, transmogrify,
blister burnt, surrender to copulate hybrid denizens.
Sexed up in breakbeat city beats.
Smell of petroleum to seek dawn's grass scent. Firewheels, cat claws, discover magic permissions.
To be declared in next round.
Subconscious, biological, neuro-egotistical.
Raise you.
Play Greek. In triumph, biodynamically. I shall overcome this or perish in the attempt. Two cogs in the wheel.
Existentialist union and neuro crisis.
Now alone, never forlorn. Seen again and be a feline cougar, jaguar to shear the city. Melted down to find centrifugal distance at 0 point.
And if you want to have the full Electric Mutant X experience, check her out on an upcoming episode of Carousel TV coming out soonish.
Up next, we asked young people from the Downsview Life Skills College for their thoughts on how they might improve the country in When I'm Prime Minister.
If I was Prime Minister, everybody would have to sing Happy Birthday to me. And everybody would have 4-day weekend.
You have just heard from the Downsview Life Skills College, who support young people ages 19 to 25 who have a range of complex needs. Carousel has worked with Downsview Life Skills College to create podcasts in the past. Thanks to Josh, Luke, Sol, and everybody at Downsview Life Skills College for taking part.
You are listening to Carousel.
If you had to make a protest, what would it be about and why?
This just reminds me of that meme where it's two people with a sad face placard and someone says, "What are you protesting?" And they say, "Everything! Everything's bad!"
I mean, my favourite sign I've ever seen is someone having a sandwich board saying, "The end is near." And then behind it was another person who had a sign saying, "The end." There he is. The end is near. That's him.
Well, first of all, we have to look at the word protest in itself. The word protest includes the word pro, and I don't think anyone is a professional with protesting. And so I think we need to replace pro with con, and then it's a contest. Boom. Mind blown. So now people are competing about who's going to be the best protester. People are trying their hardest because it's a competition. So yes, in a way, make the protest a competition. Well, what you need of a protest is a petition. And a petition, yes, you can get people signed on the spot, but that's old school. What you can do is have a QR code. But having a QR code, that's an amateur move. It's good and effective, but it can become the QR code. So you need someone with the initials QR, such as Quentin Robotino. So if Quentin Robotino is listening to the podcast, boy, do I have a job for you. You can, whatever you're doing right now, you can replace it and become a QR code manufacturer. That's an example of competing in protest.
I think you're going to kill Jason by the end of this show.
So. I don't know what this is, but I'm loving every minute.
Jesus, schmuck.
What I would do is I would want to bring a small bit of Australia over to the UK, because I would like to protest for the restaurant chain Burger King to change their name to their Australian equivalent, Hungry Jack's.
Ooh.
Now, I personally believe that Hungry Jack's is like a way better name than Burger King, and it's about time that everybody realises that.
Fair.
And it comes down to this really one question. Would you rather eat at a place called Hungry Jack's or a generic sounding burger place called Burger King?
With Burger King, it's already establishing a tone. He's saying he's the king. With the noun king, it's already establishing itself as one thing. However, Hungry Jack's, jack of all trades. This is for any person.
Oh my word, you're right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Actually, I will give one more thing. It's just a mini protest, very specific, but I would like to protest against Jason protesting against vegan cheese, because he has talked about it.
Hell no!
If you think he talks about it a lot on mic, imagine this guy off mic.
Sure, well, I'll make a deal with you. The day you give me a piece of vegan cheese that I actually enjoy eating, I'll stop talking about it.
Next up, in the final part of his three-part story, writer Johnny Schachter imagines how the 20th century would have been different if his father, Professor Mel Schachter, had beaten Winston Churchill in a general election held in November 1940.
Hi, my name is Johnny Schachter.
Previously in If Mel Schachter Was Prime Minister.
Dr. Mel Schachter beats Winston Spencer Churchill in the national elections. Hitler dies from lung cancer. World War II never happened. Dad throws Stalin into the bottomless pit.
And in this final part, Johnny's creative writing group have time traveled back to the 1940s to help govern the country, depose tyrants, and oversee a period of peace and love across Europe.
1941 to 1951. From 1941 to 1951, Mel and his cabinet were in power. The UK was stable, Pearl Harbor never happened, and the United States never did bomb Japan. Harry Truman loses the election in 1948, and Thomas Dewey becomes president. Dewey and Dad become friends. This also means that the Eastern Bloc or Eastern Europe never become communist. So the map of Europe is actually quite different. Countries like Poland, Hungary, and Czechoslovakia are democratic countries and all have a 4- or 5-party system. Canada and independent Alberta become major powers. William Lyon Mackenzie King creates an alliance between Alberta and the rest of Canada so there will be no friction. The King of England, George VI, instructs Juliet to appoint the Governor General of Alberta. This is a pretty peaceful time for Europe and North America. Ruthie Schachter, wife of the English Prime Minister, pursues a career in the Civil Liberties Department and continually argues with her husband about what food to buy. Administration under Dad. In 1946 and 1947, Mum and Dad had two kids, Eric and Marion. In 1951, 11 years after holding office, Dad was put out of office because of the pepperoni sausage crisis. Dad went from home to home, eating all the cold cuts from people's fridges. So finally, everybody had enough of his consumption and voted him out. Now the Prime Minister is Clement Attlee. In late 1955, Attlee lost in the election and Dad was voted back in as Prime Minister. Dad announced in 1956, since I feel Winston Churchill got the short end of the stick, I've made a decision to form a coalition government with him. The coalition lasted for 10 years, when in 1965, Dad decided to retire. Dad had to make a decision what to do with the creative writing class. This period from 1955 to 1965 was a quiet time of great prosperity. Then in November of 1965, something happened.
See final chapter, which is how this story ends.
So on November the 12th, Dad said, I have the scientific skills and means to now put the creative writing class back to the year 2012. He continued, I have reversed the aging process, so I will only be 60 years old in the year 2012. So everybody goes forward in time, thanks to Dad's laboratory. Every now it is 2012, and the class is back the way it was. Amongst the staff members is Emmeline. Dad announces to his son, Johnny, would you like to marry Emmeline, son? She is really nice and very pretty. Johnny replies, wow, Dad, you have solved all my problems with girls. No wonder you are such a bright, smart, and qualified psychiatrist. Johnny goes on, she is so pretty, kind, and gentle. So he cuddles her and falls asleep in her arms. An hour later, he wakes up and the creative writing class is still there. Then there is a party and everybody is very happy. Dad, because he is Jewish, says, I give you my blessing. Dad lives for another 30 years with my mother. Do not forget, dear reader, Dad has found the cure for the aging process. So my mother lives for another 40 years. Emmeline and Johnny live happy ever after. And everybody is very happy. The end.
And a massive thank you to Johnny Schachter for his epic. You're listening to Carousel Radio, and this is Protest Contests.
As you know, everybody gets gifts around December time, right?
I've heard the legends.
And some of them are unwanted gifts. So my question to you is, Joel and Paggy, What would be a creative way to get rid of an unwanted gift?
The main unwanted gift I want, before I continue, Mum, look outside, there's someone there! Okay, she's gone. Jason, shush. I don't know how long I've got until Mum comes back. My parents like to give me a kind of like a foam aeroplane every year, which I make once and then throw. So like, how do I get rid of that? To be honest, the best way to get rid of that is just to throw it like out into the distance and hope to never see it again, and hopefully it comes back. And that is why I really like the foam planes. So what about you, Paggy?
Well, fun fact for everyone, the word gift in German, it means poison. So...
I've heard that.
Yeah,
I have heard that.
Like, my more genuine answer, of course, to get rid of unwanted gifts is bonfire, obviously.
Yeah, I can sum the whole thing up in one word.
Space.
Raffle.
Yeah, that is a really creative way to get rid of unwanted gifts.
Not only do you get rid of your gifts, you force other people to choose the gifts that you're trying to get rid of. Wait, auction, even better.
Oh my word, that'd be the worst.
I would do something similar to you, Jason. I would have a gift swap event where people enter by leaving one thing and they can take something else. Or you can buy tickets and they all go to a charity, something like that. But I'd also like to highlight a sensible way, maybe not the most creative, but a very sensible way is donate your gifts to charity and become a gift aider, because that costs nothing more to you, but it benefits your chosen charity.
I'd like to remind you these are unwanted gifts, so I kind of feel like we're insulting the charities if we give them the tat.
They could be nice, but just unwanted.
Sure.
That's just me, guys.
Oh, you sweet innocent summer child.
Dear listeners, it is January. January is known as a lot of things, such as the beginning of the year and other things. But January, January, that is a good name. Jason, Joe, do you know why it's called January?
For the sake of kayfabe, no.
It derives from the Roman god Janus. He's supposed to be someone with two faces, two heads, with one of them looking back at the previous year and one looking to the current year. But while I'm at it, there's two fake months in the year, August and July. October is supposed to be the 10th month, but because of July and August, it's actually...
October is meant to be the 8th month.
Yeah, it's supposed to be the 8th month, but it's the 10th month because of July and August, which were...
added by...
Augustus and Caesar. I also want to mention, it's 2024, which is the year of the dragon. So, this year won't be dragging on because it's the year of the dragon. We'll be flying away. And the other thing I want to mention is I am a stand-up comedian, which is a surprise to absolutely no one. But I will be doing a show at Baron's Court Theatre in London from January 30th to Sunday 4th of February. This is in North London. It's called Stimmy Cantor. It's a show about autistic joy. You can find it on my link tree, which is Paggy. Well, you can go on my Instagram, Paggy Comedy.
P-A-G-G-Y Comedy.
Hey, Paggy, guess what?
What?
It's the end of the show!
No!
So we got some thanks from some people. So special thanks to Downsview Life Skill College.
Thank you to Daniel Wakeford.
Thank you to Johnny Schachter.
Thank you to Joe.
Thank you to Paggy.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Jason.
Thank you to me.
We'll be back with a new podcast in February 2024.
Please rate, like, and subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to the show. It can help us get funding and keep going. There are monthly episodes going back to January 2017 that you can listen to at any time. Just search Carousel Radio.
This will be the last word of the show. Go for it.
Dragon!
This podcast is brought to you by Carousel, helping people with learning disabilities to reach their potential in the arts.
Thank you for listening to Carousel Radio.